Hello and welcome back to 10 out of 10 with Watch Again with Lauren and Ross.
Hello.
This week we're after the cat content and we're bringing you the controversial classic 1983's Scarface. Hits with your part of Ross.
It was released December 1983.
A Christmas movie.
A Christmas film, aye. Directed by Brian De Palma, starring Al Pacino, Michelle Pfeiffer, Stephen Bauer, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. But this has a lot of, like, they guys in the secondary cast.
There's, like, the four main guys and then everyone else. We were sitting the whole time watching it being like, what else is he in?
Like, they always appear as cops or, like, hitmen number four and all that. Aye, brilliant. Budget of between 23 and 37 million. And a box office of $66 million.
Fairfax. Million?
Million dollars.
general overview, the rise and fall of a chancing bastard trying to get his American dream.
Aye.
Basically, aye. Isn't it?
I'll give you that.
Why do you love this film?
I mean, it's violent. The acting's, I mean, it's probably one of Al Pacino's best.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a class film. It holds up for, you want a good gangster movie, this one. A drug movie, this one, why not? Do you know what I mean? It's class.
No, 100%, 100%. I think it's, like, over the top in every way a movie can be.
Yeah.
Like, setting, acting, like, costumes. Let's not skip about the elephant in the room, the amount of cocaine the man does in the film.
Yeah.
it's an excessive amount. It's not really a movie I feel good after watching it, though. Like, I'm not pure, like, I'm not feeling pumped up and psyched after I watch it, but that doesn't put me off watching it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I enjoy myself while I'm watching it, and then the end, I just kind of feel a bit sad, you know? But that's not like, oh, I can't be bored watching Scarface, do you know what I mean?
It's a weird movie because, obviously, there's people that root for him. And is it? But he's not a likable guy.
No,
he's an arsehole. Like that, he is an arsehole. But there's no really any redeeming people in this movie.
Nah,
like they're all crooks.
Yeah,
like so how do you, like you can't really think you're glad you should be glad he died.
Yeah.
But you're
spoiler
not,
alert.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not
40-year-old movie now. If you've not seen it now, then tough.
That is true.
But you don't feel sorry when he dies. You don't feel bad for him. You don't really feel bad for anybody. Is it?
Yeah, no, this you feel bad happen. For Manny. I feel bad for wee Manny.
He was just a fucking just as bad as him.
No. I think this is one. This is definitely one of the ones I watched far too young. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, oh my god, of course.
Obviously, though, when you watch this movie young, about 90% of it's going over your head. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're here for the one-liners, and that's about it. Do you know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure this is one of the ones my dad did the classic fast-forward on.
Yeah.
Like, the Thelma and Louise one. Like, so, I remember, like, years later going back and being like, what the fuck is happening in that bathroom? Because my dad just fast-forwarded it, do you know what I mean? So, like, the edited version of Scarface was one I watched for a long time.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, watching the full thing, I'm like, holy shit, do you know what I mean? But, like, great movie, loved it. It just, you know, you don't have that, like, pure woo when it's done, you know?
As I say, you should be glad he's dead because he's done a lot of bad things, but you're just kind of like that. This was just pointless violence. This could have all been avoided if he just fucking kept the heat.
Yeah, and we'll dive into thoughts and opinions. This is one of the, off the back of what we were saying, this is one of those movies that's a bit of a two-sided coin. Like, on one side, it's this, like, crazy, super influential to, like, pop culture in general masterpiece.
God, yeah.
It's always on those, like, movies to see before you die, insane set pieces. Every teenager had, or probably still does have, the Scarface poster up on the wall at some point, you know? But then on the other side, it's extremely misogynistic. There's this toxic masculinity of, like, all I have is my balls and my word. Like, fuck off, do you know what I mean? And, like, there's a weird kind of, is it incest, is it not incest subplot? It's actually quite racist, like, watching it as well.
Oh, the stereotyping in this is unreal.
100%. But I think that's just viewing it through, like, a 2024 lens, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously the violence is fucking ridiculous, but I think this is one of the few, and I mean few, movies that you can take the good and the bad with it, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's an enjoyable watch. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you can watch it being like, okay, now this is wrong and you shouldn't be doing that and blah, 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 blah. But you're not watching Scarface to be fucking politically correct. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you shouldn't be watching it anyway, but like, oh, this wasn't right. He said, no, everything they do is not right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, just them as characters are so... Brian De Palma's, like, famous for his, like, insane set pieces. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it does blow my mind whenever we watch this that, like, everything was built. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is... Everything is built custom for this fucking movie, do you know what I mean? Like, down, like, from the club to his fucking marble house to, like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a huge fan of Brian De Palma. I like The Untouchables, but that's one thing I really, you appreciate when you watch a Brian De Palma movie is, like, how much effort goes into, like, the pieces around it, you know?
Yeah. Were you going on about, like, this movie in general, the so-called American dream?
Quote, unquote.
That they all want. So, people, like, when they've spoken about this, but it's like a rags-to-riches story, and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Like, because is that what people think you need to do to get ahead? Is to be, like, ruthless and fuck each other over and that?
Yeah.
Is this idea that, like, there's no, like, that's not a thing?
Nah.
Like, it's just, if you work hard, you'll do this and do that, and is it? Does it work out for him? Because you can see it in the movie, which I find interesting, is he enjoys doing what he's doing, but see, once he has everything, he's lost.
Totally, totally. And I think this is one of those movies that, like, see, like, it's that kind of, it's a joke, but it's also serious of, like, red flag, your man's favourite movie, Scarface, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's a joke, but it's also not a joke, because, like, if you're watching this movie and, like, taking this as, like, yeah, great, like, that's how you do it, fuck off, get a life, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because, like you say, and that's, like, a really fucking good point, is, like, you can see him having fun, you know what I mean? Like, like, doing all the crook shit, and even, like, he turns around to Frank, and, like, after the fight with the Colombians, and he's like, that was fun, and all this, and he's, like, having a good time being a prick, do you know what I mean? And, like, going on the rise, and then as soon as Frank's away, and he's in the big class house, and he's got Michelle Pfeiffer, who's been chasing the whole movie, and his pals are in it, and all this, he's making all this money, but you do see, like, the decline in him, like, his face is perpermo tripping him, do you know what I mean?
It gets, like, this paranoia, like, isolation, where he can't trust anybody, even though he's happy to trust him at the start of the movie, with his life, and he's all out to get me, he wasn't built to be, like, a drug lord.
He
doesn't have the temperament, he can't really deal with the people above him. Like, he's got a hard time taking orders, is it? You are never going to be the top of, like, top of the chain with this, because like, when he's meeting Sosa and that in Bolivia, and is it, he's, like, the total opposite of him, is it, he's cool, he's calm, he's collected, like,
he's too hot-headed for it,
Like, the sheer difference in the both of them, even though, I mean, obviously, he's the big, like, he's the one in Bolivia delivering, God, mountains and mountains of coke to him. But is it, that's why I like when it's the first boss's name.
Frank.
Mm-hmm. When is it? He realizes at his level, and he's like, "Look, don't push ahead. Just stay.
Yep.
Like, keep the heat down and walk in that, and is it? And everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas he just wants to ramp this up, thinking it's going to, like, make him happy. And I feel like after the montage, where he's made it. After that, he's just fucking miserable. Just pure misery.
Totally. This movie has, like, three acts, like, and this is going to sound incredibly wanky, but I need you to just bear with me, right? But this is, like, it's almost, like, Shakespearean in scale of, like, the drama, if you get what I mean, and it's a three-act movie of, like, the rise, the glory, the fall, do you know what I mean? And this all does sound incredibly wanky, but it's very, like, over the top dramatic with it, but it's like his rise is just as dramatic as his fall, do you know what I mean? Like, where he's coming up and he's like, fuck everybody, and you even see it, and this really, like, I love to see it, but you see it in all their, like, costumes as well, and I've got a right soft spot for, like, when costume designers like reflect the do you know what I mean? But like even at the start, like when he comes from Cuba to America and he's just a dishwasher, it's all these like braggy t-shirts and his hair's a fucking riot and blah blah blah. Then he starts working for Frank and it's these big garish shoulder padded suits, unbuttoned chains. Then when he takes Frank out, he and then starts working with Sosa, it's like he tailors in. It's like now he's like, right, okay, I've hit this level of success. I need to start reflecting it. So all the suits become less garish and they become more like blacks and greys and it's super tailored. Like super professional. And like, you see it with all of them the whole way through. Like, even Michelle Pfeiffer, like the first time we see Michelle Pfeiffer is in this beautiful fitted emerald silk dress. And then by the end, she's in this like looser, kind of baggier, sparkly number because she's just had the fucking life zapped right out of her. I mean, the only one, even his sister, like she's at the start in like a fucking Primark dress, do you know what I mean? And then by the end, she's in like the silk robes and all this. The only one who doesn't change super dramatically is Manny. Like, he keeps the silk shirts, they just kind of, for all their like super bright blues and pinks at the start, they kind of become more like jewel toned. Do you know what I mean? Like they become a bit more maturer colours, but he sticks with the like silk shirts and the trousers, just everything just becomes a bit more nipped in and tailored. Yeah. But and I think that kind of reflect, look at me getting wanky about Scarface. Actually take me away for this, Mike. But like I think that kind of shows as well, like Manny's really the only one who doesn't properly change, if you know what I mean. Like he's always from the start been like, I want money and I want women, and he got his money and he got his women and he was quite happy. Do you know what I mean? And he was quite happy helping like Al Pacino cut about and like get more successful, blah blah blah. But he wasn't that bored about like going up the ranks, you know.
No, I mean, you can sort of see it near the probably the last quarter of the movie, Manny sort of distances himself from him, because I think he can see it.
Like, but it's all going horribly wrong. Because
he starts doing drugs and all that, and he's like, I mean, as Frank says to him, rule number, was it number two? Don't get high on your own supply.
Yep.
And he just breaks that major rule.
Yep.
And it's, he, I think he notices that, nah, this is, like, he's a bit fucked here.
100%. Rule number one, never underestimate the other guy's greed. And rule number two, don't get high on your own supply. Which, he breaks both of them, but also Frank doesn't pay attention to his own rules either, because he underestimates Al Pacino and Al Pacino fucks him over a belter.
Yeah.
And don't get high on your own supply, but Michelle Pfeiffer's snorting half your stuff. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But no, that it is, it's funny how it is just showing you it's kind of like just in cycles.
Totally.
Like every mistake he could capitalize on Frank as somebody's going to date to him.
Totally. Totally. Absolutely. Now, will we dive into a bit about Pacino's performance.
All right, go for it.
40 out of 10, Al Pacino never lets us down, right? Big man's a belter. And I do think this is one of, do you know that way when you watch an Al Pacino movie, even when you're watching The Godfather and all that, as incredible it is, you know you're watching Al Pacino put in a performance.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like in this one, yes, it's Al Pacino, but you're not looking at that being like, that's fucking Al Pacino. Like, you're looking at that and you're like, fucking hell, that's Tony Montana. Like, do you know what I mean?
You can see, like, that. I get you.
Do you get what I mean? Like, it kind of loses the Al Pacino-ness, obviously, in the performance. But what I will say is he still does the Al Pacino scream. But what I mean is, like, when you watch Godfather, when you watch Dog Day Afternoon and all this kind of thing, he's great. Like, you're never turning around saying Al Pacino's shite, do you know what I mean? But you're watching those movies being like, that's Al Pacino. Whereas in this, it's like, oh my God, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the only one you can really say is that
he's like in the character, if you know what I mean?
The character suits him carefully for this.
Exactly. But I do want to ask you, as much as I'm pure butting up Big Pacino the now, is this the start of the Al Pacino, she got her greatest, like, screaming performances?
I don't know. I would need to go, what years? I mean, this is 83. Godfather was at 72.
Give me a second and I'll fucking let you know, right? So,
it depends when it all, if this was, like, the start of it or if he was kind of starting his run for it.
Right. I have my own theory, but you'll get on board with me, right? So, Panic in Needle Park, 1971. Godfather, 1972. Serpico, 1973. Now, Serpico is where the shouting enters the chat but doesn't take over, right? Godfather 2, Belter.
Yeah.
74.
I'll prefer the first one.
Yep. Dog Day Afternoon, 75. That's where we start getting a bit more
Erica.
Yeah. Then you've got, like, Justice for All, Cruising, Scarface, 1983. Then, I think Scarface is the start. Then you've obviously got your Sea of Loves. I think it's Dick Tracy in 1990 is when he goes, fuck it, I'm
so in. So in the 90s is when he starts it?
I think so, because...
Never seen Dick Tracy.
Oh my God, Dick Tracy's so good. I'll show you Dick Tracy. It's so good. He's like this bad guy, but like, it's a bit...
I've seen the photos in it, but no, I've never seen...
it's cartoony as shit. Yeah. But which is why I think he's shouting works, but now I look back and I'm like, fuck, we should have seen it. Godfather 3 also comes out in 1990, where
yeah,
you
that
have
movie,
the,
that doesn't exist.
And they pull me back in, right?
Was it the Immobilari?
The Immobilari. Then... 1992, Scent of a Woman, where he's the God. Blind guy.
Yeah, yeah, fucking
then
hell,
then it's Carlito's Way, which I've never seen because I fucking thought Robbie Coltrane was in it.
Carlito's Way is good.
Okay, I've never seen it. I will get into it. Well, I'll show you Dick Tracy. You show me Carlito's Way. Then in 1995, it's Heat, and that's when we're fucking running. Like, she got her. Give me all you got, to do you know what I mean? Like, he's running away with it. Like, I don't love Heat. I really don't. I've actually watched it a couple of times to try and make myself... I'm trying to gaslight myself by liking Heat, because so many people are like, this is the greatest movie ever. And I'm like, I don't get it. So I'm really trying to gaslight myself by liking Heat. But he's away with it. But him and De Niro and Heat are like on the opposite end of the same scale. Do you know what I mean? Where like Pacino's going full, and De Niro's like... overly sullen and overly sulky.
He's overselling it.
And it's like, lady, what do you care about what I read or what I do? Like, shut up, do you know what I mean? Then after that, we're away. We've got Donnie Brasco, Devil's Advocate, The Insider, Insomnia. Then we go into The Recruit with Colin Farrell. He's in fucking Gili.
Fucking hell.
Angels in America, I've never seen, but I had to read the play in college, and the play was really depressing, so I bet you'll be good in that. Then we're in a more of like your kind of Ocean's 13, Jack and Jill.
Yeah, this is when he needed the money, though.
Yeah, this is when the money dried up, because apparently his manager stole like all his money or something like that.
Yeah, it was a weird accounting thing, wasn't it?
I got his book on Audible, so I'm going to start that. Yeah. So
no, fair enough.
I'll let you know. And then obviously in recent years, we've got Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Irishman, House of Gucci, that Hunters that was on Amazon that's supposed to be really fucking good. And then. He's been in a couple of music videos this year, apparently. But, like, that's the Al Pacino track career off the top of my head. And I really do think it creeps in with Attica. Then it starts going the whole, like, I try to get out and they pull me back in. And then by Dick Tracy and he's just fucking man.
Probably in the 90s. 100%. Like when he's went, fuck this.
Yeah. Like, and that's not saying that Al Pacino is not, like, I know there's always the thing, like, well, who do you prefer, Al Pacino or De Niro? But I think they're two completely different. I know they came up in the same way. I know they worked in a lot of the same movies. But, like, I think they're totally different. Like, I can...
Oh, they're two totally different styles.
Do you know what I
mean? But then it's... I mean, De Niro's done all his fucking
rancid
comedies.
And all that.
What is that? Is it the grandpa one he done and all that?
Oh, yeah. He does it for his theatre company. Like, he'll make movies like that to, like, fund his... I can't remember what his theatre company's called. But that's what my dad always says, right? You see, whenever De Niro is in, like, the poster for something shite, my dad will be like, oh, that's just a film for his theatre company. And I'm like... Is it though,
no,
Dad? Is it?
They've thrown him a boatload of money for not a lot of work.
100%. Like, what was that terrible one with De Niro, you and me? Was it The Bucket List or something? It was like De Niro, Morgan Freeman, and
oh,
all
that's
that.
Nicholson and Freeman, is it no? I know what one you're on about, though.
The one where they go to Vegas.
Him, Michael Douglas.
Yes!
Oh, Last Vegas, was it?
Why?
Oh, shite.
It was so bad. But, like, we knew it was going to be bad, but we watched it anyway just to see if there was still life in the old dogs, do you know what I mean? And it was just piping, man.
I mean, there is, because The Irishman, like, yes, the age was a bit, Like, they showed their age when they were trying to be younger, but...
was awful.
But they were good in it. Say they weren't good in it.
That's the thing, though, is I think even at this age, if you give... I'm not saying even at this age as if they're pure past it, but what I mean is, like, if you give them Scorsese and a Scorsese script, of course they're going to cook. Of course they're going to be in their bag. But, like, I did like The Irishman. I've only seen it the once, so maybe I'm just saying that. It's like I've only seen The Joker once, and I'm like, I like that, and I'm feared to rewatch it in case it's shite.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it again.
That's kind of how I feel about The Irishman. Like, I liked it at the time, but I'm feared to rewatch it in case it's shite and it's going to shatter all my illusions. You know what I mean? But the one bit that does stick with me is that bit where Robert De Niro's supposed to be a young man and he tries to boot that shopkeeper to death.
You could just
you can hear the arthritis in his knees, looks, do you know what I mean?
Looks painful.
Fucking awful, man. But yeah, anyway, sorry, back to Pacino. I got his book on Audible, so I will be doing Your Nut In and possibly the podcast Nut In with, like, Pacino facts, you know?
No, fair enough.
So if we do, and I know we said months ago, we're never going to do Godfather, we're not going to be those guys. If we do Godfather, you know exactly why we're doing Godfather, do you know what I mean? Christmas is coming up, guys. We're going to have time off for work to do movie marathons again. Right, okay, I'll dive into the actual film, because I think we've talked about everything except the actual film. As much as this is a movie about excess, right, and everything in the movie is excessive, it blows my mind that the scene with the Colombians in the hotel room is 20 minutes into the fucking movie. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's probably the most, that's the most violent by far.
Yeah, yeah. Everything else is just kind of like at the side violence, or like you're just like, why shoot him once when you can shoot him 40 times kind of vibe. That's the most like graphic one, I think. But I'm just pure like, we're 20 minutes in, guys, and we're already like, at a nine, you know? Yeah.
There's a few bits in this where I'm like, how do they write the story to have, like, all this mental shit happening in it and to make it work?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that, what was it, 2 hours 50 this is?
Yep.
So, could it have been a bit shorter? You could have done away with a few things, but...
I already know the things I would cut, but we'll go into that in 5 minutes.
But then you, when you sit there and you think about it, is it, like, so, they come over, they're on the boat for Cuba, they go to the... What was it called? Freedom Tower, they called it? Freedom Tower, wasn't it? So, but then they have to kill a guy.
He get
out of there and get a green card. Still don't know how the fuck they managed that. For a man to make a deal with somebody to get the drugs.
Yep.
Don't really hang out about that.
No. So, they kill Ravenga and get the green card off of...
Is it off of them?
Off of the
guy. Oh, I've just all picked that up. All right, okay.
Because that's how he's at when... He's having a scrap with him in the motor, and he's like, oh, I could have got anybody to do it and just give him $50. And Pacino's like, well, why didn't you then? Don't be a dick. And then that's when it's like, oh, go pick it up. Then you'll get $5,000. And it's like, oh, well, the Colombians are killing everybody.
Like, the idea that he could just come over here, like, come over to America.
Come over here.
Yeah. imagine that. Go over to America, then become all this drug lord just because they had to do it. I had to kill somebody in a...
Yeah.
And the immigrant... I don't even know what you call it. The hovel they ended up putting them in.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like, this story... If you were to read this, just the bare bits will happen and not know what Scarface, you're like, that's a fucking shambles.
Yeah, what the fuck? That's the thing, though, is, like, I think if this movie had been in the hands of anybody else that wasn't Brian De Palma, and also Oliver Stone helped to write it...
Yeah.
So, obviously, it's based on the... Is it 1932 or 1935 came out in? And then this is a remake. I've never seen the 30s version. I'll stick with Al Pacino.
Yeah.
But Oliver Stone's also done, like, Natural Born Killers, JFK, all that kind of shit. So that's, like, I think if it was in the hands of literally anybody else, how over the top it is would just be stupid. Like, because this movie could so easily have been a flop. Do you know what I mean?
Because, could have fell apart. Aye.
Like you say, like, the story is... ridiculous.
This would never happen. Surely not.
Obviously, well, you never know, but obviously. But, like, I think, yeah, like, the rise through the ranks and levels of excess and all that good stuff and blah, blah, blah. I think, I don't even know, because there was, kind of, when I was looking up stuff for use of information, there was different bits of, like, Scorsese wanted to be attached, but then was attached to something else and da, da, da. I don't even know if this would be a good movie if Scorsese did it. And Scorsese has a rare flop, but I just don't know if it would be... like
not this style anyway.
Like, I think it had to be De Palma to make it so big, because also Pacino is fucking... He's playing to the back, do you know what I mean? He's playing to the back row. Everybody else is pretty like at a 5, 6 yeah. at tops, and he's at a 12. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think we should say his is more like the gritty, like New York type stuff. Yeah, New York, yeah, Vegas. Yeah. I mean, the closest one to this probably Casino.
Yeah.
Not as, like, obviously that Casino's not as over the top and as mental as Scarface,
like,
but
a downscaled version.
But it's,
yeah,
more brighter. It's, mm-hmm. So I would say, but then I don't think Scorsese would have. Not the way it turned out anyway.
No,
I mean,
no.
He probably would have made it class, but I don't think it wouldn't be the Scarface it is, obviously.
No, totally. I think as I'll see, because this movie is so, like, as soon as you get into it, you're in the nitty gritty, do you know what I mean? Like, there's not really a lot of, like, redemptive areas. There's not really a lot of, like, joyful areas. And I don't mean that as in, like, because, like, there'll be bits where we're watching this movie and we'll be like, yes, class. But what I mean is, like, joyful for the characters, do you know what I mean? So, see, after the Columbia, the scene with the Colombians, and you just get all these wee tidbits in the build-up of, like, him and Manny having a laugh over, like, how he talked to birds. Him taking the piss from Michelle Pfeiffer, putting, like, her hat on and all that, and she's laughing and stuff. Like, it's all these wee tiny moments of just, like, a bit of human connection.
It's like human,
do you know what I mean? Because basically after that, like, you get all these tidbits of human connection, blah, 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 and then as soon as Frank gets murdered, as soon as they murder Frank, it's just, like, super villain territory, do you know what I mean? And you don't really get any kind of insight, and I know there's the relationship with the sister that's supposed to be redemptive, and we will get into that, but it's not, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that they don't show enough of him being the crime boss. Just, like, you have your montage and that, then you see him, but then you don't really see, like, the shit they're doing.
Which you
think...
And they're just dragging sacks of money out of the bank and all
and
that.
And I'm like, that's cool, I get that. Like, you want to show that, oh, look, he's made it and that, but there's no real, like, you only see, well, maybe this big crime boss, is it? There's, like, three guys he's got.
Yeah.
I don't understand how, it doesn't sell it for me that he's this big shot drug dealer.
Yeah, totally. I know it sounds like we're pure shitting on the film, like, we actually do like movie, do you know what I mean? Like
The weakest part of it is when he becomes a crime boss. Yeah. I think, obviously, the most famous scene is of the ending.
Say hello to my little friend.
But that's probably the best part of that. Like, you could miss half the stuff and be miserable.
100%.
And I know they need to show it, because you don't really show the bad guys winning in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they never do. Like, I think that's the whole point.
That's the point. And especially, like, I think now in movies, they're quite... They're not as bad if the bad guy wins. I mean, it's more of like, if the bad guy wins in modern movies, it's more of like a sucker punch. But like 70s and 80s, it was very like, this guy will have a downfall so bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like Easy Rider. Easy Rider's a great movie. Just turn it off 15 minutes before the end. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And just let them live their life. Do you know what I mean?
Especially when it came to drugs and that. People
it's
dealt
all
drugs
the morality
that did not,
shit.
Yeah. They did not survive.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, obviously, America and all that at the time was, like, your war on drugs and say no and a lot of pish, blah, blah, blah.
For all the good it's done them.
100%. I think that's... I think, like, obviously, like, they were harder on, like, movies that featured heavily drugs, do you know what I mean? Because it's like, no, these kids need a moral of the story. But then it's funny that, like... Every wee bam in a fucking Bergos jacket is like, I fucking love Scarface. Like, shut up, dick, do you know what I mean?
They all think they're Tony Montana.
100%.
They gave their pal a bit of weed.
Right, we'll get into the sister, right? Played by Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. Who I always get confused with Gina Davis, even though...
Don't know how.
I know. I've only seen Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio in, like, two things, I think. Yeah. This and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Now... I personally think the whole sister subplot could just be cut. Like, I don't need it. Like, it takes away... Like if you cut that out, that's half an hour of your movie saved.
Yeah, you don't need it. It's pointless.
And I think there's that kind of conversation around it of, like, is it incest? Is it not? Because, like, personally for me, I didn't get that. And I don't mean it like that, but because obviously I understand he is, like... the vibe that I get is just like very overbearing brother. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like very overbearing protective. Because when she does come in at the end and she's like, you want to fuck me, Tony?
Yeah.
He's like horrified, yeah. Man. His face is like, what the fuck are you talking about? Do you know what I mean? And like, I personally don't get it. I think, now there's a creepy vibe. I'll give you the creepy vibe. I think it's creepy overbearing, but it's his face of like horror.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's why I'm like, I don't think it is. I just think it's a bit much, you know?
Yeah.
Bit much.
See, I think it's more, because you see it in, I mean, the first time you really see it in him is the club scene.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes out of the club to talk to Frank and she's in there dancing with
some random
guy. And he went, who's he? So, oh, he works for like another gang, another mm-hmm. drug dealing gang, like drug gang.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, he's just, like, he's harmless and that. But I think it's more the fact is he knows what these people are like.
Yeah.
And the life that, like, she's going to live if she sticks to him. Because you look at Michelle Pfeiffer in it.
Oh, she.
Like, she's miserable.
Yeah.
Like, she's what Tony becomes. Like, she's that through the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't see that, I think he sees that it'll be a lot of that for her. If she decides to stay in this life,
yeah,
you don't need the sister in it.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. Because I just don't think you need that kind of weird. Like, but then the thing is as well is like, I know that you're like, oh, he sees the life that they could lead, blah, blah, blah. Leave her and Manny alone. I have such a wee soft spot for Manny. Like, he just pure. He's like cutting about with Tony. I know I'm like sitting here being like, Tony Montana's an arsehole. And I'm like, but like he's drunk to her pal. And it's like, but they're just like so cute. But then even as well, like when he shoots Manny, when he finds out Manny's been pumping his sister, yeah. Basically. And then she's like, we got married 2 days ago. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I really don't care.
Part of it was just the build up just to have him kill Manny.
I think, yeah, I agree.
Which is a very long-winded fucking build up.
100%. And I do think she was probably supposed to be his, like, redemption, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because obviously, like Manny says to her, like, you're his kid sister, he loves you, he wants to protect you, he doesn't want you in this life, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I think she's supposed to be his redemption, but see, because there's this kind of weird cloudiness about, yeah. Like, is he just overbearing or is there something a bit
nah,
more?
I don't think there is.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that's, like, a conversation yeah. around it. Like, that is, like, it's fucking everywhere, but, like, I think because there is that kind of cloudiness and that kind of seed of doubt of, like, is he trying to pump his sister? That doesn't add to the redemption the way it should. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If it was played so straight and that there was no margin of doubt that all he was just protecting his wee sister, we wouldn't be having this conversation and she would be his redemption. Do you know what I mean?
But then,
there's not. There's all this kind of discourse on what the fuck's crack here. And because it's just that wee bit seedier, everyone's a bit like, ugh. Do you get what I mean?
See, I get what you mean, but I also think there's no redemption for her in this movie. Like, it's just kind of, that happens, then she gets killed.
Yeah.
So I don't see.
I think it's supposed to be like her hair salon, isn't it? He buys her hair salon, yeah. He's trying to get her an actual business, and then she fucks it all off to go and get with Manny.
Aye, so there's no really, it doesn't really show, because they're not, see, for all the talk is of they two, like, that whole incest thing,
mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of scenes with them.
Yeah, there's only, like, 3 or 4.
Yeah, like, so I don't know. I don't know what her role is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I think is that it's for Manny's death.
Yeah. No, why then? I think as well, like, when she goes into the toilet with that gangster and he comes in after them, he fucking cracks her about her, do you know what yeah. I mean? And then obviously that's how you then get Manny and her being like, oh, maybe not, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Also, like, straight after he cracks her in the chops, shout out to Munch from Law and Order SVU for being the comedian club.
That was a surprise.
That was a mood lightener, do you know what I mean? After yeah. the scud they gave his sister, do you know
gave
what I mean?
Her a fucking cracker, didn't he?
Also, her accent's fucking piping. Sorry, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. That accent's shocking. Absolutely shocking.
A lot of the accents are a bit piping in this.
100%. I genuinely did try to look up how many times they said man in this movie, because I feel like that is like the Wolf of Wall Street level of like how many times did they say fuck?
Aye.
And I was looking all over the shop and they were like, oh, there's not a definitive count. And I'm like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be the one that counts how many times they say man.
On you go.
I think the Push It to the Limits montage is like the best 4 minutes. Like,
no, aye.
And in this movie and just in general, like there's a reason this and the Say Hello to My Little Friend are the two bits that they always put in the like fucking Watch Mojo top 10 lists and all this kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's the best way to show his, like, meteoric rise in the...
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Aye. Like, in 4 minutes, you've got... He's making all this money. He's married her. He's bought he's bought his wee sister a hair salon. Mm-hmm. There's the looks between his sister and Manny. He bought his tiger. He's in the big gaff. It's them dragging sacks of money into the bank. And then straight after that... is when we go into his fucking tacky ass B&M Home Bargains Crushed Velvet House.
Oh, for fuck's sake,
who designed this? Now, why is it always the people with the most money that have the worst fucking taste, right? Like, so his office is like black marble, black and gold marble, sorry, with a silk fucking like chair with a Tony Montana sign in it. His lobby in his house is just red with a fountain and the world is yours and blah, blah, blah. You go into his fucking bathroom in the bedroom or whatever, the sunken in bath with carpet around the bath.
Yeah,
Are you nuts? And then like there's the big silk sheets and there's the marble pillars in the bathroom and everything's silk and opulent and over the top, but it's trash. Like for all it's like over the top, it's cheap. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's not me slagging Brian De Palma's set. That is me just being like, you always find the people that have got the money end up having like the tackiest shit. And I'm not sitting here as a home interior expert. Do you know what I mean? Like, I fucking put sticky vinyl on my handles to make them leopard print. I'm not above it. But
you wonder now, they start getting all this money, right? He's married, big Michelle Pfeiffer. Who do you think designed the house?
Oh, fuck. See if it was Michelle Pfeiffer. Oof, no.
I was going to say, like, would a Cuban immigrant know, like, all the American, like, house, like... fashion, you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, like
what's in
the,
this year?
Yeah, like, all the kind of home trends of, like, remember over lockdown, people were putting, like, painter's tapes and triangles and having, like, artistic wall features.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then now it's all that, like, paneling, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who's telling him, like, oh, by the way... black silk and marble is the thing this year. Right. Yeah,
That's going to be her choice.
Yeah,
but then 100%. She's too coked out of mind.
Well, this is the thing, right? And I do want 5 minutes to talk about Michelle Pfeiffer. Is like, oh no, obviously it's not like she's happy with Frank, right? Like she's sitting there with her face tripping her, coked out or not, wearing these beautiful gowns, but like raging, like miserable. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And then you kind of see a bit of life in her. When Tony was like chatting her up a bit and he's like, oh, I'll buy this more, I'll drive you about, la la la. And you can see her kind of melting a bit. But then as soon as Frank dies, Tony just goes up and is like, he's away, you're mine now. And she's like, all right. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, she's not really, I feel bad for her by the end, like obviously that. No, but see by the end when they're in the restaurant and it's that like, her home is polluted and all this kind of thing, and she's like visibly upset and she's like, I'm leaving. And I'm like, why didn't you leave when Frank died? Because like, is it the lifestyle? Do you just know why I work? Do you want to just have free gear and snout all day?
That's it. She doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he says that. He's like, go do something with your day.
Yeah, but it's not even that, is it? She lives in this mansion in Miami. Like,
I could definitely find stuff to fill my day.
She could be miserable, does it? But she's clearly, she's just more interested in the money. Because why else would she be with Frank?
100%.
I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer or this, some old slimy dude.
Yeah.
Like, there's only one reason she's there.
100%. I do think as well, though, is like, see when she's with Frank, I think because Frank is like, Frank's happy, he leads the pack. Obviously, he's a grass as well, do you know what I mean? But he's quite happy at his level. So she's more chill. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, she's taking her gear. She's having her snout. She's not really doing much. Face is tripping her, but she's chill.
Yeah.
But I think because when she gets Al Pacino and he's so focused on, like, fuck this, we're going to the top, you really see her, like, wither when she's with him. Like, she gets thinner. Her skin's grayer. Like, all of her dresses by the end of the movie are, like, super baggy because she's just no eating. She's just taking gear all day. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, fuck that. Do you know what I mean? She looks great though. Love you, Michelle.
If you're that miserable, you'd leave, but she has nothing to fall back on.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
Kind of been trapped there, but she also got trapped herself into 100%. This. Because she wants this lifestyle, but she doesn't want like all the other shit comes with it. Well, you're choosing to go out with drug lords here.
Yeah, she wants to look glamorous and go to the nice places and have the nice time and get the free drugs and the cigarettes and all that. But she doesn't want to deal with the actual hassle that is all these fannies in your house all the time and needing to... Yeah, totally get you. Totally get you. I know how earlier on we were saying, like, I think the sister was supposed to be his redemption but wasn't, and then you were like, I don't actually think he has a redemption. His one redemptive quality is that he doesn't kill the wife and kids of the politician. See, when Sosa's like, take them out, so he doesn't... What's the politicians doing, like putting in harder drug laws or something like that?
No, it's that he's grassing them up. Remember, because it shows you the video. He's on, was it 60 Minutes he's doing an interview?
Yeah.
Or he's going to go into that. And it's photos of Sosa and that being like, this guy's putting all the drugs into, coke into America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's like that. Oh, this is bad for our team.
Yeah.
Whereas Tony Montana's just one person doing all this.
Yeah.
Like Sosa, that is a fool. It's empire a network.
Totally.
And he does, this is what I don't get about it though, is that Tony Montana does this, but he needs the drugs off of Sosa. So why would you fuck with your supplier?
And that's why, Ross, we don't run a drug king empire, do you know what I mean? Because we'd be like, what was happening? Like,
I don't get it either. See, if you're fucking mental enough to go out of that line of business, why would you keep doing it? Because he says at some point, was it like, 75 mil a month.
Yeah. You're fine. You're good for life. Yeah.
Like, you would just date them, like, take all these guys here, look, you take over.
Aye, 100%. Like, I'm retired, I'm out. And then just move to another country and live a fabulous life. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's always baffled me when you hear all these stories that, oh, we'll make millions. Quit then.
Yeah.
Quit while you're ahead.
Fucking retire before that target in your back gets any bigger.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't be a criminal. I'm too paranoid, man. Like, it's like as much as they all on the telly, oh, we make all this money, blah, blah, blah. And then 2 minutes later, there's some wee guy around the corner ready to chip you for your spot. No, I'm too para, man. I'm too para. But I think that is his one redemptive thing that he does do is he's like, I'm not going to kill kids
no women, no kids. I'm
and
not
that's
doing it.
The one thing that he does stick to, do you know what I mean? But that is
to his
like,
own demise.
Yeah,
like, that kind of starts the spiral.
Totally, into the riot masterpiece that is the end of this movie.
Yeah, because they say you don't fuck with Sosa.
Mm-mm.
Like Sosa's a far bigger fish than you, my man.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, isn't it? He gets cocky, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The whole ending of this movie is just like, it's the most Shakespearean downfall, over dramatic, hammy out its tits.
Oh, it's bullshit, but
and
brilliant.
And I'm so here for it every time. Like, every time he goes to the cupboard and he's like, you want more of this? Say hello to my little friend. I'm like, fucking yours. Like, do you know what I mean? But it's like, the mountain of coke on the table, he's covered in the residue, you've got all the guys coming down, say hello to my little friend, all the, like, running up and down these big opulent stairs and all that, and then Sosa's... Who? See the guy with the sunglasses who does kill him? He's, like, henchman number 4 in every other film.
Aye. He's a knockoff Terminator.
100%.
That joke.
100%. But it's, like... And it's so good, and it's great, but I do think... And this might sound a bit stupid, but bear with me, and obviously disagree if you don't agree, but I think you need to watch the whole movie to get the end, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because I think when you watch the ending on like YouTube and all that, you're like, this is amazing, this is so over the top, oh my god, he said the line, la 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 la, like
the line sounds horrible in it.
Hello to my little friend, like, all right,
yeah, like the audio in it is very weird. I don't know if they recorded, like, re-recorded it or something.
I dubbed it, but it sounds shit. Yeah. I think that's the thing, is like, when you see the clip on YouTube, it does look class and it does look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's sitting getting shot about 50 fucking times, not budging at all.
Yeah.
And like, it does look great. But I think when you've watched the whole movie and it gets to this point, it's really sad. Do you know what I mean? Because he's so up his own arse and he's so put himself on this pedestal of like, I'm the fucking best, nobody's gonna fucking touch me. And then obviously he's been wiped out. And then it's the way they shoot him, he lands in the pool, and then they all just walk off. Like, it's not a big deal to these guys. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's just a job.
And that's the thing, is like, he spent the whole movie fucking everyone over, pure ruthless, killing everybody around him to get to this level. He thinks he thinks he's indestructible. He gets killed and they all just walk away. Like, cool. Like, he, like, in the grand scale of everything he did, he's nothing to Sosa. Do you know what I mean? And he'll find
somebody else in America. Depending on how it goes with him getting grassed in with all these people.
100%.
I think the guy ends up the UN doing it. But if he's fine, like, it's not as if it's just him, like, tripping these drugs over.
No, totally.
There'll be another Tony Montana somewhere.
Totally.
Like, they can do this with.
Totally. And I think that's maybe why I always feel a bit sad at the end of it, because it's like, you did all this, you fucked over it, you've killed your best pal for what? Like, it doesn't matter, do you know what I mean? Like, you think you're this pure, huge thing, you're just a number, though, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Sit down, sell your drugs and move on, do you know what I mean?
That's it. Like, there's such a insignificance.
Totally.
Like, the fact that they're just business as usual after he kills Frank.
100%.
Like, you think that, I'm not needed as much as I think I am.
Yeah, like, obviously it doesn't really show you, it just says he kills Frank in the police and then turns around to that guy and is like, do you want a job? And then immediately after that it's the montage. So like, that must have been a seamless level of swap over, like, business transition.
Just take over. You just take over everything.
100%. Like,
nobody's going to argue.
I was thinking that, like, somebody phones and goes, where's Frank? And it's like, there's no Frank, there is only Tony.
Frank's dead, Tony's in charge now.
It's
okay.
All right, no bother. Cool.
Yeah.
100%.
Right, so I've got something for you here.
Oh, Christ.
No.
Look at that face. What
I've written a new Scarface.
Oh, God. Okay.
Called Glasgow Smile.
Okay. Okay.
Right. So, just a little three act one, right?
Right, okay.
So, act one, right? Tony McTavish. Right? Big Tony boy.
Right, I'm in.
Hey, comes for. Goes to the Badlands at Glasgow. For Orkney.
Oh,
young
right,
up-and-comer,
okay.
Right? And he gets myself to Glasgow getting a drug game.
Right, okay.
He's sick of putting weed to all the wee weirdos in Orkney, right?
Right, okay, he's coming down for the big guns then. Right, cool.
Arrives in Glasgow with dreams of making it big.
Excellent.
Starts off walking in the docks.
Okay.
I don't really know where you would walk in. Maybe the Govan shipyard, right?
The shipyard.
Change out the Govan shipyard.
Right, cool.
But he quickly gets involved in the city's underground crime scene.
Ooh.
So same as that, he's ruthless, he'll fight anybody.
McTavish is out for you,
right,
100%.
Loves a pint, right? Tony's ambition and ruthlessness catch the eye of Big Al McGregor.
Yes!
Notorious crime boss.
Who's Al McGregor? Right?
Frank, Big Al, right?
Right, okay.
Proves his worth by doing all the risky jobs.
Is Alan McGregor not a fucking footballer?
Big Al McGregor.
Oh, right.
No, Alan McGregor, right?
I was like, that's a footballer.
Shut up, right?
carry on.
Right. So he's doing all the wee jobs, getting all the wee junkies and that, right, getting
love
them sorted.
It. Right.
Act two, the rise.
Right, okay.
So he's big Tony McTavish, power grows, and because he takes Al McGregor's operations.
Right, okay.
How it happens, no fleshed out yet.
Listen, we'll make a montage to, like, fucking Gary McKeith or something,
But he's dealing in illegal whiskey.
Okay.
Because dealing illegal whiskey for some reason.
Why the fuck not?
Drugs and protection rackets.
Nice.
And the big house he gets, the West End.
Yeah! Up the Highland.
In the affluent West End area.
Excellent.
But
what about Bears Den? Would he not go to Bears Den with the money?
I bet he needs one closer to Glasgow. I wrote this in 10 minutes.
No, I'm with you. He's next to his operation. I like it. No, I'm here for this. I'd watch this.
But this is when his sister comes into it.
Oh, fuck.
She comes down for Orkney.
Right.
I'm like, look. Me, Mary. We Mother Mary.
Morag.
We Mama Morag's no happy with you.
Oh, fuck.
She heard you're doing all this stuff. So, his sister, Jeannie McTavish.
Right, okay.
Oh, Jeannie. The relationship becomes strained.
Right.
Because he's like, no, you're not getting out of this life. This is my life. That's all I've got so far.
Right, okay.
No incest hanging out. Well, Orkney. Maybe, actually.
Maybe we'll see. Let's not say anything in case anybody from Orkney listens, you know.
No point on that. Who are you kidding?
Aye, true. They only caught running water last week.
He's just scared that she'll get involved in the world of illegal whiskey.
Right, okay. Act three.
No. I've changed the ending because it's not in his affluent West End mansion.
Right, okay.
He's sitting in the bars.
Right.
He got a wee stall for his illegal. He's one of the ones where the police come, they pack up.
Oh, yeah, run like fuck. Aye. Yeah.
And that's where they have the big final fight in the Badlands Ballroom.
Excellent.
Absolutely
excellent.
Fucking nailing everybody on the stairs. Imagine that.
Fuck that. Yeah. And the big disco ball falls on him.
Aye. That's excellent. How it ends.
I'm so in. I'm so here for this.
Ends in bits and pieces.
Yes! I am so here for this. Yeah, fuck it. Get that made. And I'm assuming because it's called Glasgow Smile, he's got the way Scarface has got the scar down his eye. He's got a Glasgow Smile chip. Right, I'm in. See? Fucking in.
Wrote it.
I love this.
10 minutes and I've wrote a better movie than Scarface.
Phone the BBC the new. Get this made.
They're too busy with it. Was it Shetland or something there, mate?
Fuck
I'll
off,
never
man.
Get the money.
I'm some sort of depressed alcoholic detective up in Shetland about to film, about to sort out this one mother that they have a year.
But I've got it, like, you can have locations like Barrys, River Clyde, always looks cool. The West End, I mean, what else do you need?
Stunning, I'm in.
Aye.
We could do this neighbour.
Say like that movie they made, The Wee Man.
Yeah!
Like that, but mine's just better.
Okay, stunning, I'm in. Right, okay, who's in it?
I don't know, I need to cast it. I've not really thought of a cast.
Right, okay. Is this what you're asking me, or what you're...
Who would you put in it?
Right, okay.
So you've got...
I love this whole thing. I want this whole thing to be made, like, now.
Right, so you've got big Tony McTavish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big Al McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie McTavish.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll need to add a police officer. There's always a police officer.
Aye, we'll need to get
I've just put Detective Campbell.
Is he a crooked police? I believe we need to be into getting him in the McTavishes.
Fuck it.
I would love if we're naming all these fictional characters and there's like an actual drug dealer out there called Big David McTavish.
I see there's a big Tony McTavish. We're fucked. I'm sorry, mate.
Sorry. Are we going like actors of now or who would be like the dream all round?
Whoever.
I'm not being funny. If we're going, you've got to go Tommy Flanagan for Tony McTavish. Like young Tommy Flanagan.
Oh, okay.
Like Chibs for Sons of Anarchy.
Like Chibs, fair enough.
Because you can't have a thing called Glasgow Smile. He's already got it built in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Aye, no, I'll give you
and
that.
That's not a slagging. Tommy Flanagan's like, what a guy. Do you know what I mean? Young Tommy Flanagan is Tony McTavish. Who've we got? Big Al McGregor.
Big Al McGregor. He's the crime boss.
Are we giving it to Brian Cox or are we giving it to... Are you wanting it to be an older guy or a younger guy?
No, need to be an older guy.
Older guy.
I think Brian Cox is a good shout.
Do you remember Brian Cox in that Tom Hardy thing, The Take?
Yeah.
That kind of vibe,
yeah,
do you know
what I
mean?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Where he's like organising everything for the jail and that. Aye. His sister.
Big Jeannie.
Nate. You know some arsehole for River Shitty would fucking play her. I've not watched River Shitty in a long time.
The one with the annoying accent we hate.
There's many.
No, she's in Harry Potter and that. The
oh
last
my
one.
God, Kelly McDonald. Oh, I hate Kelly McDonald. Yeah, cool.
Mommy's greeting up and up because of you.
Fuck off. Great, just a little bit bad. Shut up, Kelly McDonald. I can't stand Kelly McDonald. The only thing I will tolerate her in is Brave, and that's because everyone in Brave has a terrible Scottish accent. We'll give it to her.
Last one's a detective.
The detective.
Like Detective Campbell.
Right, a shifty looking bastard then, right, if he's a crooked thing. Do we go like Carlisle? Or do we go...
Ah, Carlisle would be...
Carlisle. Something like that, but do you know what I mean? Like, we're like... Or even, and I hate to give this man any more airtime, but like, see the way McAvoy was in Filth?
Yeah, I could picture that.
Like something like that, or something like Robert Carlyle, like that kind of wee man, game as fuck. Mm-hmm.
I'll give you McAvoy.
Right, fine.
Right, so I've got it cast, that's fine. I just need to flesh this out.
Yeah. We'll get that Creative Scotland application filled out pronto, right? I'm in. Yeah, class. That was fun.
Aye. Well, I'm done, aye. I've wrote my story, so...
Right, so if you're all done, we'll dive into Let's Go. What's your Let's Go moment?
It'll be the montage, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the happiest, isn't it?
Push it to the limit!
That or when Manny, when they're meeting the Colombians and he's about to get hacked to death with a chainsaw, then Manny shoots the window in.
Yeah.
I'm going for that.
You're going that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I just had, like... Anytime there's like an iconic line in it, do you know what I mean? Any of the one liners that are on any Scarface poster or t shirt ever is like a pure Let's Go. See, even like even like at the end when he's like steaming and he's like, you ain't never gonna get a bad guy like me. Say goodbye to the bad guy. And all this, and it's like, yes! Like, I just love how up his own arse he is, do you know what I mean? And it's like, all these fucking class one-liners, that's like, so there's like several let's go moments, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Honestly, I wish I'd written down more one-liners, because the only one that's coming in my head right now is say goodbye to the bad guy. But you know what I mean? Do you have a favourite scene?
Chainsaw scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's so violent, grim.
Yeah.
For the first proper interaction with him in Miami, is it? What a fucking introduction.
100%, 100%.
The drug ways, like the drug gangs of Miami.
Isn't it? Yeah, and then shooting him point blank when like everyone... Miami really seems to be, you're either old and retired, pit bull, or a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like there's only like...
There's no in between, like there's no chill.
Absolutely not. My favourite scene's the montage. Like that's like... Because I also think Push It to the Limits has not been off a playlist of mine since I saw Scarface. Like, what a tune.
The soundtrack for this movie is phenomenal.
So good, man. Aye. So good.
That and that She's on Fire now, that class.
So good. Yes. Yeah. Right, so I'll dive straight into you some information. So the body count of this movie is 42 people.
Wow.
The word fuck is said 182 times.
Fuck mine.
Fuck mine. And allegedly, this is supposed to be why Blink 182 are called Blink 182, because they say fuck 182 times. No, allegedly, the internet says it, so yeah, it might not be true.
Yeah, that seems a bit... I know, fair. You know what, see if it is further. So.
Yeah, yeah, like, I was like, really? I didn't, like, but I'm adding it in just in case, you know?
Yeah.
Al Pacino has stated that this has been his favourite character to play ever. Which I can see, like, you can see him running away with it, do you know what I mean? Like, you can, which is also why I think this movie is such a 10 out of 10 we'd watch again, because you can tell Al Pacino's just cooking, he's in his fucking
bag.
Oh,
he's loving it, aye.
Do you know what I mean? When Tony is in the bathtub watching TV, he says, look at those pelicans fly. This was the line that he used with his dialect coach to be able to slip into the Cuban accent. I was like, well, there you go, didn't know that.
No, fair enough.
I know, right? I was like, all right, cool.
Look at those pelicans flying.
Steven Spielberg was on set the day they filmed the attack on Tony's house, and De Palma allowed him to film basically from when the guys run in to before Tony shoots the guy who kills his sister.
Aye.
That whole setup Spielberg did, all the kind of low angle shots and all that kind of stuff.
That's class.
Totally. Apparently Spielberg and De Palma have been best pals since like the 70s, and they both allow each other to direct little bits in each of their movies.
That's brilliant.
And I was like, class, do you know what I mean? Once again, after, was it last week or the week before we were talking about, it was Jurassic Park, we were talking about Spielberg. So once again, Spielberg making his name through.
I try to get his way to other movies, eh?
Do you know what I mean? What a guy.
Fucking Schindler's List, don't fucking stop me.
When the film was re-released in cinemas in 2003, studios asked De Palma to change the soundtrack to include hip-hop songs that were inspired by Scarface, but he refused.
Yeah, fuck that.
He was like, I'm not doing it. And that's the thing, is like, it would be crowbarred in, do you know what I mean? Like, it just wouldn't make sense.
It wouldn't suit the era of it, no.
Even like, see the Baz Luhrmann Great Gatsby, where he was like, hip-hop is modern-day jazz, so I'm going to... That's the thing, right? Is it only kind of worked, right? And the only reason it kind of worked is because they made No Church in the Wild for Great Gatsby, and that's a fucking banger, right? But, like, I'm always a bit like, why are we crowbarring songs that don't fit? Like, you're not being cool and quirky, do you know what I mean? Anyway, despite the movie being called Scarface, he is only called Scarface once in the whole movie, and it's in Spanish.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Nobody does
it. Oh, he doesn't call me in the police, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. They just say, like, oh, about the scar on your face, pretty boy. But only in Spanish does somebody call
okay,
him.
Okay.
Brian De Palma was originally supposed to direct Flashdance, but loved this script so much he backed out of Flashdance to direct this. I would love to see Brian De Palma's version of Flashdance.
That'd be pretty weird, though.
Flashdance is overrated as shit. That's another fucking hill I'll die on.
Have Al Pacino in Flashdance.
She's a maniac, maniac. Yeah, I'm in. In the final shootout scene, Pacino grabs the gun by the barrel. Although blanks were used, Pacino was so badly burned that production had to be shut down for 3 weeks to let him recover.
Holy shit.
While production was shut down, that was when they would do all the like running scenes and this kind of thing, which is why the ending is so cut between him and everyone else, because he was fucked. But could you imagine? Say hello to my little friend. Pfft, ah!
Like,
Rockstar Games cited this film as a huge influence on the Grand Theft Auto games, specifically Vice City. Yeah,
practically the same storyline.
I was going to say, like, up until
near the end anyway.
Aye. So, you're in, like, 100%, that makes sense?
Yeah, well, you have the scene where people, like, the scene, like, a mission where they come to your house to try and kill you and that.
Oh, really?
Right, and you go to their house and kill, Vice City, heavily inspired by Scarface.
Well, I've only played Grand Theft Auto with you once because you lost the nut. Because mine, I was driving and I get the motor stuck in between a wall and a bin.
Yeah.
And you were like, fucking Beth! And I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, this is so stupid. And I've not been allowed to play since. So this is the bit that you'll like. This is everybody who was supposed to be in it, right? Now, the list I'm about to hit you with, Ross, I need you to bear this, right? So Al Pacino originally wanted Glenn Close to play Elvira, but the studio advised that she wasn't sexy enough. Fuck off, right? Here's a list of the women the studio considered before picking Michelle Pfeiffer. Courtney Cox, yeah or nay?
Nah.
I think she was like...
I think she'd have been too young.
Yeah. Let me look up. I think she was 19.
About 19. Yeah, nah, that'd have been too weird.
And because Al Pacino is a bit long in the tooth, you know, he's a bit older in this film, it's like that, I think that'd be a bit weird.
You'd have got a whole more creepier, especially with the sister in, a whole creepier age thing. Nah, I'm glad, nah, just don't.
Yeah. Sharon Stone?
I can see that, aye. Just a fucking blonde Miami woman, like, she could live the Miami lifestyle.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, Sharon Stone didn't really, like, I'm just looking up Sharon Stone now. She only kind of, like, her run was, like, from 1990. Do you know what I mean? Like, where she did Basic Instinct and all that good stuff that everyone knows and loves. Do you know what I mean? Last Action Hero, Basic Instinct. Total Recall was 1990. I love that. I'm like, Last Action Hero, that's the one that everyone hates. But, yeah, 1983, she actually did fuck all. She was in T.J. Hooker and then was in King Solomon's Mines in 1985, so I don't know what she was doing. But her run, like Casinos in like 1995, and all that good stuff. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe with Sharon Stone, why not? Rosanna Arquette, I'm going no. Patricia Arquette's wee sister.
All right. Yeah, nah.
I'm going no for her that. Kim Basinger of the first Batman and LA Confidential and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can see her doing it.
I could see her doing it as well. Jessica Lang, I don't know. I think she'd be too fierce. See the way like Michelle Pfeiffer is more like bored.
Yeah.
I think Jessica Lang would give Al Pacino a run for his money. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
she wouldn't be taking the shite he was giving her. But I'm just saying that because
would she have been too old to play it?
He's older though, do you know what I mean? Like, even if he's not as old in this, he's older. I suppose
you would probably need to change your character. Because I think,
it would make sense, not that it would make sense, right? But like, if Jessica Lang was older and married to Frank and then got Al Pacino, the ages would look more right. But I think it makes more sense in the movie that she's this like young trophy wife.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
It's not as if she'd have been ancient, she'd have been in her 30s.
Yeah.
I think...
We're in our 30s, Ross.
Yeah, but I think it would have to be somebody in her 20s.
Mm. And I think Jessica Lang would be too much for Pacino, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked, nah.
She's a big ham, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, I don't see it because
she seems to be up for everything.
Yeah, I know. I hear, listen, her agent's putting her name down for everything. I don't see it though, because again, I think in the same lane as Jessica Lange, I think she'd give him too much.
Yeah.
And the same as well, Sigourney Weaver was also up for it, and I don't see that.
Nah.
The last two who were also considered was Jennifer Jason Leigh, who, again, apparently she's a pure arsehole in real life as well. And Brooke Shields. Brooke Shields is probably the one I could see the most out of that. Because she's young and stunning. They were all the ones that the studio wanted, but De Palma was like, no, thank you. Here's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Good. I mean, she plays it very well. It's not as if...
She does that really bored, nonchalant thing where she's, like, super jaded by everything. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, nothing impresses her. Yeah. Which is why I think when she starts having a laugh with Pacino, that's, like, her warming up. And you're like, oh, my God, there's something underneath all that.
Yeah, I get you.
John Travolta was originally considered for the role of Tony Montana before Pacino... Because Pacino basically loved the script and wanted to come on just as a producer. Then was like, nah, the more I'm reading the script, the more I want to be Tony Montana. But John Travolta was originally considered before Al Pacino took the role. He was then offered the role of Manny, but he turned it down. That is another name in a long, 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 long list of John Travolta fuck-ups. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
oh, how many chances is this?
This is the thing. It's like, see, when you see the amount of movies that John Travolta was like offered or whatever and he's turned it down, it's like, fuck off, do you know what I mean?
Like, he's not getting any more chances.
Nah,
thank fuck for that.
Him, do you know what I mean? And then last one, Edward James Olmos, who played Gaff in Blade Runner and was Admiral William Adams in Battlestar Galactica, turned down the role of Tony Montana, citing that it was too violent.
Fuck off.
Now, he's Gaff in Blade Runner with that, like, it's too bad she won't live, but then again, who does? Yeah. That took me 10 fucking minutes to remember that line. And I never watched Battlestar Galactica, but Lee's a huge fan. But for me, I'm just kind of like, you're a fucking C-D-lister at best, do you know what I mean? At best. You're maybe, like, in the top of the that guy list, you know? Like, you're turning down Scarface, but then also, I don't know if Scarface would have been as big of a deal if it wasn't Al Pacino. Do you get what I mean?
No, I get you.
So,
I mean,
why you're in, you know, who am I?
It's too violent, noisy. Fucking behave yourself, it's a movie.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, do you know that way, like, there's some things people can't get behind in movies and all that? Like, see, like, movie violence and all that. I'm like, this is not real. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is not, like, loads of people can't get behind horror movies and all that kind of stuff, but, like, see, like, overly violent movies, I'm like, this isn't happening, this isn't real, this isn't an imminent threat, like,
no,
relax,
bullshit.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's not as if the whole movie is, like, cited in realism, do you know what I mean?
No, of course not.
So, why them?
That is an arsehole.
Aye, 100%. Right, we'll dive in.
Aye. Right, I'll go first, right? So, my one... Well, I've got three here. And my one is, how quickly does Tony rise?
Yeah.
With no real confrontation.
Uh-huh.
Like, it just becomes it, but the police think he shot a cop, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
All this shit. Nothing happens to him.
No. Shit's frank. There's no vengeance. There's no, like, consequences to that. Like, nobody's, like, super loyal to Frank and is like, who the fuck are you?
Sosa's not sending people to him or anything.
Do you know what I mean? And, like, but even, like, not even that, like, we, like, low-level dogs, do you know what I mean, who are, like, pure loyal to Frank, aren't they, like, hey, wait a minute here, do you know what I mean?
Like, why is nobody else trying to take a chance to...
To take up, over?
It's a bit too fast, a bit too smooth for my liking.
I get you. But then I think if we saw a kind of grim... I think it needed to be in montage form because this is already a nearly 3-hour movie. I think if we saw, like, him coming up against roadblocks, we would be at a 4-hour film, do you know what I mean? Which, again, I'm not saying I wouldn't sit through, but I think
if
it needed...
You cut the sister at all.
Oh, please cut the sister.
You can add a bit of that, and is it... Not even, like, you don't even need the full thing. It could be a conversation between him and Sosa.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, but I've killed Frank, but, right, but you don't, like,
you don't
get
to give you that order.
Get to do that, but, like, because they already had the friendship, and he's like, that's fine, but you need to toe the line.
Yeah.
Then it would have brought in more when he fucks up. When Tony said, I'm not killing kids and that, they could be like, I fucking warned you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Something like that, yeah.
No, totally. Yeah, a bit more of a fucking toe the line, but it does just kind of seem like he kills Frank and then he's like, I'm away and look at all this money I'm making and la la la.
Yeah,
there's
that
not...
quickly it just all happens.
Totally. Yeah, no, I get you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Another one here I've got is, see the helicopter scene? when he flings Omar out.
Yes, because Omar's supposed to be a grass.
Yeah.
But it turns out Frank's the grass.
I was going to say, is it? How it's unclear how they really know, is it my guy seen him?
Aye.
Tony obviously has to believe this because he's stuck in the fucking his compound room. But seems a bit strange. And my guy seen him in London. Was it London he says?
Wyron.
Whatever it is, he went, aye, he's a snake. And I was like, hang on, was it fuck snake, mate? That's a bit extreme.
Aye, isn't it? And then it turns out it was Frank the whole time.
Yeah. Fucking rat.
Fucking rat.
All right, you can go through yours, because my last one I think we'll have a conversation about.
Okay, Christ, right, okay. So, we've already spoke about, is the sister plot really needed at all? I did have a point about Elvira, but the more we've kind of spoke about Michelle Pfeiffer, it's not, like, I'd put, like, do you think she ever really falls in love with Tony? Because obviously...
Nah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, because obviously she, like, warms up to him a wee bit, and then... He comes up and is like, oh, I killed Frank, by the way, you're with me now. And she's just like, all right. And then obviously by the end when he's like, your woman's below red. And she's like, fucking what? Do you know what I mean? And she does leave him. But I don't know. There was 5 minutes of a glimmer of hope for both of them. Do you know what I mean? And then they both fucked it. Do you know what I mean?
She kind of offers nothing. And like when she leaves with nothing.
Yeah, 100%.
Like it's a strange. It's not that she learns about. If she needs this more than anything.
100%. You'll notice this. This isn't really an A for the now. This is more of an A of like, you'll notice this the next time you watch it. But basically, Pacino's scar disappears somewhere in the middle, right?
All right, okay.
So he keeps the one in his eyebrow, but the one on his cheek keeps going, but it keeps, it like changes in size, then it's no there at all.
It's just bad continuity.
Then it's, yeah. And then by the end, it's this kind of weird shape thing. And it's, but then the bit where he's buying the Cadillac with Michelle Pfeiffer, it's not even there, it's away. So I was just like, that doesn't make sense. That's straight continuity.
Must have just been obviously different, like they would have been filmed out of order.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably thought, oh fuck, we better add that now.
That's like, it's one of the Harry Potter movies, and they change.
Oh, it changes every time.
Change where the scar is on his forehead, and then there's scenes where it's just not there at all. Yeah, dickheads. The one that I've got now, this is pure ship it, but I'd fucking notice, right? Now, when he's killed, when he comes back from Sosa's meeting, right, and his pal's been killed, and he's had the scrap with Frank, and Frank's like, what are you talking to Sosa for? And Tony's like, Sharply Million. And he's at the back of the club. And there's those two Cuban guys.
Yeah.
Now they're sitting with their hands in their lap, right? And they're fanning about with guns under napkins. Then they bring it up, then they bring it back down. And no one bats an eyelid, right? Now, I'm a nosy bastard, right? And as much as if I'm in the club and I'm having a good time, I'm a pure people watcher, but do you know what I mean? Like, I'll be dancing
Somebody
away.
Somebody would have noticed that.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I'll be pure dancing away, having a good laugh, but I'm pure watching. I'm like, well, like, her outfit. Oh, what's he doing? Oh my God, are they doing that? So, like, I would have noticed, like, because one, why are you fanning about under the table that long? What naughty business are you up to?
Yeah, what's going on?
Or the second they whip it out and then they whip off the napkins and they're sitting with the guns out in the open for a while. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, nobody noticed because they tables are super close together. Nah, don't talk shite. That's basically mine.
So my last one, we will probably get to this, is how does he know die then sooner?
Oh my God, aye, because they shoot him like 50
he
times.
Gets, like, he put it a Scottish way, which will be the end of mine. I've shot utter fuck at you.
Aye, he's getting absolutely rattled with the machine guns.
There's no way he's standing that long. I don't care who you are.
But it's the, like, they are absolutely pounding him with machine guns, and he's pure like, I'm the best, baby. And I don't care how much coke you take, you're feeling that, babe. Do you know what I mean? And then it takes Discount Terminator, shoot him in the back of the head, and that's him away. Nah, boat. Absolutely boat.
His death's very unsatisfying.
Yes.
Like, for a guy as evil as he's meant to have been and the shit he's done, He should have got a far worse demise.
100%. 100%. I totally agree. But I think there's just a lot of like he manages to single-handedly wipe out half this crew.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he gets like shot once with a machine gun, he's still standing there being like, are you just gonna text Mario, are you gonna take me out?
Blah, blah, yeah. Blah.
And it's like, you're feeling that, babe.
There's
you're
about
at least
eight or nine of them shooting him.
100%.
And he's just standing there
and
shouting.
All got automatic weapons, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't really know my guns, but these look like big fucking guns.
I should have
guns.
Tore them apart,
do you know what I mean? And it's only Terminator, Discount Terminator, that takes me out then? Yeah. Nah, fuck off. Nah, I totally agree with you, man. Totally agree with you.
No, it's mine, that. It's just bullshit. I know there's theories that, oh, it's the cloak, is it? No.
I don't care how much of any substance you take. There's got to be a point where you're feeling that. Do you know what I mean?
Of course you've got to feel it.
You've got to feel, like, maybe the first one or two, I would understand, like, if you're, like, out your nut or whatever, and you're like, what's that? But by, like, bullet 12, you're going to be like, wait a minute, something's happening here. Do you know what I mean?
It's not even that. Like, you, even if you don't feel it, you're still going to fucking die.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, you're quicker. Bleeding out. You're bleeding out, babe. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Best kill, worst kill?
Aye. So what's yours?
So my best kill is Tony Montana, purely because it is the most over the top one, right? My worst kill is Ravenga at the beginning.
Yeah.
And this is really stupid, and this is going to sound really stupid, right? But purely because Tony Montana turns around to Manny and is like, I'd kill a communist for fun, but for a green card, I'll carve him up real nice, and then stabs him once. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, like, why are you in?
Yeah, and the guy just dies instantly.
100%. 100%. Just walks off bleeding out your stomach. Now, if you believe movies say if you get shot or stabbed in the stomach, you're dying for a long time. Yeah. Like, you're bleeding out.
Yeah, that's what will kill you, bleeding out.
Totally. Like, you're going to be in agony for hours. Do you know what I mean? But Tony Montana says, I'll carve him up, doesn't, stabs him once, and then he just falls to his knees and dies.
Done. Yeah,
fuck
bullshit.
Off. Anyway, you buy it in now.
So my best one has got to be Angel, the chainsaw.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
Chainsaw
death
is just fucking grim.
Yeah.
Like, how?
That is so fucking grim,
For you have Tony chained up.
And watching it.
Yeah, like, fuck that.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
And my worst one is just Omar Suarez. I was like, we don't know if he deserved that or no. Guy gets hung, the helicopter, big Omar.
Right,
if he was just cannon fodder on that, I'd be like, oh, it sucks to be you, mate.
100%.
Like, no luck.
100%. Who's your worst guy whose hairline's receding?
The guy who's ready to blow up the children and that. His name's Alberto the Shadow.
Uh-huh. Prick.
Fair dues, what a fucking name.
Yeah.
But don't kill women or children. Tony won't do it to you.
He's in stuff as well.
He's in Hunters,
him. I'm sure I've seen him as, like, a priest in things, do you know what I mean?
He's good.
I had Tony. I was like, it's got to be Tony, isn't it? Like, he truly fucks everything up for himself and everyone around him, do you know what I mean? But now you've said that, I'm like, oh, now I'm a cold, heartless cow for not caring about those women and kids, you know?
Fuck it, they survived anyway.
You win Worst Guy's Hairline. Yeah.
So, different movie? Who have you got?
I've got Discount Terminator. Like, he feels like he should be like a Lethal Weapon or like a Die Hard guy. Like, something like that. Who have you got?
I've got Al Pacino.
Fuck off.
Oh, Lauren, he's in. Like, come on. Most of them are trying to play their straight in this.
Yeah.
Apart from him.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Everyone else is, like, straight down the line, whereas he is pure, like, he's on one the whole movie.
Like, it's got to be him, surely.
Yeah, I'll give you that. No, yeah, okay. Now, like, yeah, no, I don't know why I even went, fuck off, Roz. No, you're absolutely right.
He's on a different level.
Yeah, he's on a different level. Yeah. No,
it
totally.
Works, but fucking hell, man.
I think it works because not everyone is on his level, so it makes him look a bit more unhinged. If everyone was at Al Pacino's level...
Oh, fuck, this would be a disaster.
Like, and that's what I mean, is like, it really does feel like a ball head above anything of what we got would be too much and this movie would be awful, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because he's at a 12 and everyone else is at like a 6 or a 7, it works because it just makes him look even more unhinged.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that.
Have you got an I'm out?
No, I think they've done this movie well with having, like, I mean, obviously it's not stated in it, but like the three acts of it.
Yes.
So, yeah, like, there's none of it's the same. I mean, bitch her out, could be the sister stuff. Either she's not in it that much, so it's not that big a problem. Like, cut it out, as I've said, but does they offend me?
Totally. Like, her scenes aren't as long. Like, they're not long enough to be like, ugh, I'm going to go on my phone. Like, as soon as she's on the screen, she's off the screen.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Absolutely not.
What about you?
No, I didn't have any. I'm in the whole way. Like, maybe, like, I'm the same as you. Maybe the sister, but she's not on long enough.
Nah.
Like, and I see, like, when I was younger, the Sosa bits used to really bore me, but now I'm like, oh, no, you need to watch
the Sosa bits.
But I think, like, I say when I was younger, it's not like I'm watching this when I was a Wayne, but now when you're, like, 18, 19, watching these, and I used to think the Sosa bit was really annoying. I just wanted all Al Pacino, but now I'm like, no, I get it. Like, I get why we need this.
All walked into it,
100%. Right, folks, that's been our Scarface episode. Thank you very much. As of next week, it is Christmas time. So we're only going to have 3 weeks of Christmas movies. So that's the 4th, the 11th, and then we're going to finish up on the 18th so that everyone can have a nice, relaxing Christmas. And we'll be back with you round about the 1st or 2nd week of January for season 2, baby.
Yep.
But basically, for the rest of December, you've got shockers. Do you know what I mean? We're probably going to put out an Instagram poll on whether you guys want Die Hard or not, or if you even want the debate of whether Die Hard's a Christmas movie or not.
But it's not, so debate's over.
Shut up, Ross. Anyway, next week's my birthday, so I'm picking the Christmas movie, and if you don't like it, do you know what I mean? This is why it's a pure cheek, right? Because for your birthday, you got to pick up your good movie. And if my birthday was not in December, I would be having Gone Girl, I would be having Braveheart, I'd be having The Patriot. But no, because my birthday's in December, I need to pick my favourite Christmas movie. That's
not my fault, is it?
Shut up. Yeah, blame my mum and dad for not planning correctly.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, give us a wee follow over on Instagram. We're actually looking into getting that Blue Skies. Like, everyone's going off the nut about that, so I'll have swatch trips. And see you next week. Bye!
Bye!
Say goodbye to the banker.
Say hello to my little Frank.